Welcome to the Friendly Geordies podcast,
where there's two huge revelations.
Yep.
The first one is that Ali is in a brand new house when worlds collide. He now lives with my editor. And I've just noticed that anywhere that this guy goes, reclining on mattresses follows. Look at you guys. You look like Dionysus.
Because I'm way too chill.
It's true, though.
You do.
Look, just free plug for your restaurant, Karachi in Newtown. Check it out.
Yep.
But you go there, and it is honestly like walking into Imran Khan's house in Pakistan. That guy that's going to become the new prime minister. And there's just all these servants standing around, and him just being like, would you like some olives? It's just such a... The upper class of Pakistan... I'm glad they're holding down the rest of society, man. They're so chill.
Hey, we're doing a public service. Fuck those Pavo cunts. Do you want olives or not?
Yeah, it's Roman aristocracy with an Eastern flair.
Dude, also, like, it's nice. It's a nice palate cleanser to see the books on your shelf. Like, in my house, it's like D-grade self-help books. It's like, the Federal Reserve not giving a fuck. The Mighty Boosh book. A book about guitars. The second Mighty
Boosh
book.
And let's not forget the classic, probably Holly's only book that she owns outright, which is 101 Places to Get Fucked Up Before You Die.
That is true. We have that book. But yours are like criminology, law, and sociology in the underclass of Australian society. And, like, criminology... Like, five criminology and law books. It's very calming.
Yeah, you just pull out a random book. This is... I'm closing my eyes.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read the title of it.
Yeah.
All right, this was a terrible choice. I'm not even going to name it.
It's very Plan of Attack by Bob Woodward.
Dude, This is basically a Matthew Riley book, but with facts in it.
Hey, man, dude, that's my uncle's book. The only reason why I've kept that is because he was reading it and then he died in front of me.
Holy shit.
That is hectic. Now you're cursed. The curse passed on.
Yeah.
Like, why is death so rampant?
Bush did 9/11 and he killed my uncle. That's what this book's about.
Dude, I was like... I was 100% sure that was Death of the West. But what's the name of the writer again? Death of the West?
Pat Buchanan.
Why don't you know that, Miss Love?
I forgot.
You looked at his name every day for 4 years.
I know, but it's been wiped from my memory. But come on, look at that little black photo from Fight. Tell me that's not Pat Buchanan. Like, that looks like... That's his brother, Jim Buchanan, you know? But yeah, I agree. Ali's... Yeah, it's
and the other profound...
And the house is cool.
Lovely house. Fun fact, that guy that everyone is always trying to give Australian of the Year to because he's like Aboriginal and kind of good at AFL owns the house. What's his name again?
Wait, Adam
Goods?
You don't
even know that. Yeah, Adam Goods, that's it.
Hey, I know who Adam Goods is. I watch Q&A every now and then.
Yeah, he's such that.
Yeah.
He is that ilk.
And so he... every now and then, you do walk into this house and you see Adam Goods just repairing a door, being like, "Yeah, no, you don't need to get a tradie in for this. I know how to do that."
So good.
It's paradise, is what we're saying.
But the second revelation, is it to do with the KFC thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've got something to add to that.
So, Miss Love gave me a shirt from Vietnam that has Ho Chi Minh on it.
And I got you
one
too,
Ali. He died in 1969. So he didn't even get to see the moon landing. What a shame.
Oh. Yeah, you know, I got
hey, are you saying he never got conned into believing the moon landing? The flag was flying. There's no air there.
It was waving. Jesse Searles believes it.
bring that up. How is the flag waving?
Yeah, we need to start doing that.
We really do. We want to expand our listenership. All the big topics of 2018. Was the fucking moon landing real? Were the Twin Towers, did they melt or explode? What's the deal with that? Does steel melt beams?
And of course, schoolyard bullies. They're rampant.
Wait, why did we have to bring Sunrise Touch to this all of a sudden? So we're going to do our...
No. We're not done yet.
all the big topics.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what the Friendly Geordies podcast is about. Oh, the fact sorry, that I am wearing a shirt. Fuck, could you be any more hipster? I'm wearing this quirky shirt, and it is quirky. Yeah, it's just a picture of Ho Chi Minh.
He is.
Just look him up right now. Tell me that that man is not Asian Colonel Sanders. Talking about the communist revolutionary of Vietnam. I swear that the people of Vietnam, it is an afterthought to them that he brought about the Vietnamese Revolution.
Yep.
The primary thing that they're really proud of and love him so much for is he came up with a good chicken recipe.
And look at him. It looks even more hilarious when it's kind of... No. It was better like that. But he looks stupid because he doesn't have a middle of his head when the shirt's creased.
Hell, you're going to have to explain that point better. Okay, sorry. Jordan's shirt.
Jordan's shirt is creased thusly as to cut out 2/3 of Ho Chi's head. So it's doubly hilarious.
So it's like when you used to get old $5 bills and fold it together and be like, it's like the Queen's getting sucked off.
Yeah, exactly. but look, I have a piece of trivia that can sort of that is linked to that in a loose way. That it'll be the best fact you've heard all year, you guys and the listeners. The best fact you've heard all year. It'll just great for dinner parties. Great for, you know, anecdotes, first date trivia. So I was in trivial pursuits
with one question. You're a winner.
One extremely esoteric question that isn't even a question. It's just a statement. I was in Bali.
Yeah.
There is a chain of restaurants written... Yeah, you're already excited, aren't you? Written in the exactly the same font as KFC. But it's not called KFC. It's called BFC. Bali Fried Chicken. And I really wanted to go with one, but my girlfriend didn't let me.
Yeah. Dude, I grew up next to a restaurant.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to break up with Holly. I still love her, but you're not right.
Why would you...
You can't be dating someone that doesn't let you go to BFC.
Man, I grew up next to an LFC.
What?
What?
Yeah.
What's LFC?
Lahore Fried Chicken, which is another city. And, you know, and this is how the guy...
bastardized.
The guy working at the restaurant, I went in and I go inside and I asked him, so what's the difference between this place and KFC? And his response was, the price, it's way cheaper here.
What a legend. Dude, that's mad. That's so mad.
It's so good that, yeah, they can't cheap out on the potato and gravy. They can't make that any worse.
Yeah, they tried. So,
all actually, they could do is lower the price.
Dude, my brother's friend worked at KFC. How good's this? Got a drink, and then like we're like, yeah, you can have it for free. But then like the manager, and then topped it up with a bit more Fanta before he left, and got fired for that, for topping it up.
No,
yeah, but dude, that guy. But that's how ruthless KFC. Like, I didn't show you could chop that up. It's like, well, the drink was free. And they're like, you're fired, mate. No shit, no word of a lie. And he worked at KFC, and this guy was like, you know, pretty grubby. Like, he'll eat, you know, he's like a teenager. Like, I don't think he can be grossed out. And he was like, yeah, man, I couldn't touch the potato and gravy after I saw how it was made. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah.
He didn't elaborate. It brought back too many scars.
Not really, too many scars. Yeah.
I had
that says way more than saying what's inside it.
And I had the exact same thing. I know this guy who used to work at KFC, and he said the exact same thing. He was saying that ever since I started working there, I'll eat anything from KFC except for their mash and gravy.
And he wouldn't explain.
He just said that every time I went there, and I worked there for years, and the tub was the same.
This is this generation's Vietnam War.
Yeah.
It's post-traumatic stress disorder induced by shit potato.
Yeah. They're feeding us Agent Orange this time. So it's fun. In mash and gravy form.
Maybe you should do... No, you already did a video on KFC, but that was more about like the fucked cunts that eat KFC.
You can make an entire channel about KFC.
Yeah, KFC live. We are reporting on the shit in the food 24 hours a day. I mean, that show would end in like 40 minutes. Come on.
If you were just talking about the shit that's inside it, yes.
Yeah.
But if you were talking about
the culture and the people,
it would be endless.
I've got
because every person that you see in there, what is your story? Stooped this low?
I've got another piece of trivia. It's pretty shit. It's pretty underwhelming though. Once a mate of mine, he fucking climbed up on the KFC, the one in going towards Chatswood, like Lane Cove. Put a fucking gnome on top of it. So, and the gnome, there was just a gnome on top of the KFC on the roof. It's been like, for like 6 months. And then eventually some cunt was like, oh, fuck, I'm taking that down. There's a gnome up there. Yeah, maybe it was a really good anecdote. Maybe I got that wrong. Did I get that wrong?
Midway, you realize it's you the decide, best story audience. Ever. I used to think that there was chicken inside of that massive bucket of KFC advertisements.
Yeah, of course you did.
I climbed up once.
I bet you were like 25.
Yeah, last year I thought that.
Last year. Did heaps of research on it.
No, like, he actually climbed in there and was just like, it might have already been eaten.
Damn, it got in late. Yeah, I need to go in the boardings. So are we gonna start this pod or what?
Yeah. No. As is protocol, we waste half an hour of everyone's time.
Yeah, that's right.
As a quote unquote, what Mislav's girlfriend said, shit talking, because we just talked about our figures. We just go, yeah, we've got 35,000 listeners. We were all baffled by them. We were humbled by them. Thank you so much. That.
Very humbled.
But yeah, then she pointed out that, know. Hang on, so they just listen to you shit talk. And we're just like, dude, that's it. That is all this podcast is. It's just shit talking. And eating shapes. Speaking of, can I have some?
Yeah.
Yes, you can. But with a side of plan of attack.
But let's be honest, you know, if this is shit talking, then Joe Rogan is just shit, you know? Like, if this is shit talking, then Joe Rogan is like, I mean, God forbid, I don't want to get killed by saying this. I actually like Joe Rogan, but, you know.
No, he is the bro equivalent of defaming Allah. You get a fatwa on you for saying anything bad about, I don't know, maybe a guy that has had his head kicked in a lot in his life. Might be wrong on a few things.
That's such a conservative, like such a non-controversial statement. Maybe this guy who is basically brain dead doesn't know that much about quantum physics. Like, how dare you?
Yeah, because you need to run lots of questions.
Joe, isn't that the most hate you got? Like,
ever. Oh, in my life.
Insane.
I know what it's like to be Sam Harris and come out and be like, you should be able to talk about taboo subjects and not be threatened with death.
Yeah. Is that what happened to Sam Harris?
Of course it did.
What?
Yeah. Him being like, if you defile Islam in any way, shape, or form.
Right. Oh, like a fatwa, right? Literally. You got literally. Because I was going to say, I don't see many people, like, you know, in the West putting a death threat on, like, Sam Harris's head for being like, you know, I think the state of university is just quite good. Cool. Like, that's not that.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. The fatwa wasn't on him for.
You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't say that much controversial shit, does he?
Sam Harris.
Yeah. I suppose
he is the shock jock of the intellectual world.
And the fact that he's losing popularity, I asked one of his ardent fans, really? My new housemate, and.
Oh, you mean my editor?
Yes, your editor. And I called Jordan to tell him that I'm moving in with Matt, and he's like, "What? This is crazy!" And I was like, "Yeah, my new best friend is Matt now. Yes. There's a vacancy, boy." So he was saying that the reason Sam Harris is losing popularity is because he stopped shitting on Islam.
Holy shit! And fair enough.
Well, yeah, obviously.
Mislav's never going to listen to that man ever now.
Yeah, well, just when you said that Sam Harris was popular for shitting on Islam and got a fatwa, Mislav was like, all right, add it to my podcast list.
Well, to be
honest.
You
mean there's another Gavin McInnes?
Yeah, yeah. To be honest, he doesn't say fuck enough, and Gavin does, so I wasn't going to listen to him anyway. Like, fucking hell. But, yeah, you know, I mean.
You feel like you lost a spirit in arms there.
Yeah. Well, you know, Gavin's, you can't beat him.
Wait, are you still that passionate about Gavin? What's the latest update in Gavin world?
I like his social commentary. It's on point. but his politics are kind of intense.
Can I just ask you, do you just like Gavin because he's funny? Like, do you just watch him as a comedian?
No. I mean, yeah, I think he's funny, but I agree. Every time he's like, blue-haired bitches, you're annoying. I'm like, yeah. Like, his social commentary is on point. It's just, like, I agree with all that stuff. It's just, and it is entertaining. But it's more, yeah, whereas I used to be fully on board, and now when he's just like, abolish the minimum wage, abolish any social services, and abolish the government, I'm like, that's kind of extreme.
Isn't it? It's so weird that he's always sitting there saying that I support centrist policies that in the 90s wouldn't have been controversial. Abolishing the government wouldn't be a controversial idea in the 90s.
It's a very reasonable demand. Yeah, he just wants no government, no state whatsoever.
Just giant as the net is like always... 50 zillion more Mac. Like one giant M that rules the world. And it's like, march.
That is a libertarian's dream.
Yeah, it's weird.
To have Ronald McDonald as the president.
Well, and even like,
and it's pretty much what happened.
Don't you think like libertarians are quite selective about their freedom choices as well? I mean, they give a shit about like businessmen having the freedom to hire and fire, but they don't give a shit about like workers having the freedom to refuse a job.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, dropping some dimes tonight.
I mean, yeah. I don't know. It's
I don't know, man.
No, I agree. If you dig just past the surface of libertarianism, it's like, you know, I don't like the idea of having some like rich boss that like can just fire you for no reason, and like Macca's isn't that good.
Oh, have you tried like the Grand Angus?
I'm not saying it's bad. It's just not that good. I'd put it this way, Ali. I'd like to live in a world where I can have Macca's or pasta.
This guy is like he's on Mad Max's payroll. This guy,
who
you?
What do you mean?
You're just like way too into burritos. What the fuck happened to like a good old cheeseburger?
Mad Max.
He's not on the He's Mad definitely Max. Not on the payroll. He is a passionate man. He's kind of the person that you see on the Discovery Channel that has collected every type of Coke bottle from the 20s. That's him. And then he's just like, you can't pay me enough to separate from them. She's like children to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just him say, with Yerb? Nachos.
I just say...
Yeah.
Hey, that's what did I have for breakfast today?
Okay, this is a, pure this is blonde. A quiz. We'll give you three questions, yeah, Ali. Three, and if you don't, we get to slap your nuts.
Fuck, I don't know what the fuck.
No, you don't have to slap your
nuts. Rat.
No.
We'll go back to three. That's
you think this is a joke? We don't joke around on this pod. Pull that shit up, Ali.
Where were you this morning?
Ali, driving. Look, take some time out. Driving. Come back when you've settled down a bit.
I was driving in a car to from Shani Lithgow to Shani
Macca's.
What you didn't know about this fun director's commentary is Miss Love is actually an octopus.
No, you got one out, not a Macca's. Just think like...
Worse than Macca's.
Yeah, you shouldn't eat it for breakfast. It was actually two items, but...
But also think, what would Phil Gould eat for breakfast?
Red
day?
Rooster.
Close.
Closer.
Who's getting Phil warmer. Gould?
The guy that used to, before every State of Origin match, have some G-up speech called Gould's Last Word. Made zero sense. It was supposed to be like that speech that Braveheart makes to the soldiers before they go into a battle. But his was just like, to win State of Origin, you have to be brave and you have to score more points than the other team. Thank you very much, Gould. That is Gould's last
also,
word.
There was a major marketing fault there. Gould's Gold. Clearly that was the name of the show.
Marketing fault.
Why aren't I making the big bucks? Seriously.
Yeah, you just need to decide on names.
Just a load of crap.
Wait, okay, so what did he eat?
You haven't...
Okay, let's start with the entree first.
Sausage McMuffin.
Close.
No, it's worse. You can't imagine it's that low. Like, eating out of a bin would be better.
Because there might have been some veggies.
He ate, yeah. For entree, he ate a toasted cheese sandwich.
Mm.
The main was a meat pie.
How fucked is that? It's so
like
fucked.
7 a.m. in the morning.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Damn.
Yeah, why does that not surprise me at all? This is the problem, kids. This is why you shouldn't raise your kids to be Muslim, because they just will eat pork at any opportunity for the rest of their life. They're that desperate.
Hey, man, ever since I've come to move to this new house, I've been making bacon way more.
Christian. It's the same shit, isn't it? It's just like ham hocks. Like,
yeah, well, okay, so is that one done? Can we now move on with the pod?
No. Let's... Jetland, is that even a show? Ba-ba-boom,
bibbidi-boo. No. Go on. Let's do it.
So back on popular demand, and by that I mean...
My demand.
Yeah, Jordan's demand.
I'm a huge fan of this segment. Not the podcast, just this. It's the only reason why I've done it for the last 200 episodes.
200.
To get your thoughts on, I could play that.
I could play that. So if you haven't heard the last podcast, it's the we named three historical figures, and all three of us decide on a on an actor or some sort of a person that could play that role.
It's great. It's like, if you think, let's name a better game. No, you can't do it. Jeopardy, no. Wheel of Fortune, definitely not.
No, I maybe can Ninja Warrior.
Wipeout.
Yeah.
Warrior.
Yeah, Wipeout. Well, you can't compete with Wipeout.
I mean, Wipeout and Ninja Warrior.
It is the chess of the
game.
21st century.
Yeah. It really resonates to me when someone gets whacked with a giant glove and it goes boing.
But what they really need to add to make that a 11 out of 10 sport is when you're on that moving wheel and they slip off, it has to have that sound going.
Dude, I started off joking about it and I've 180 totally. Like, yeah, you're right. That's fucking mad.
Okay, so the first historical figure for the day is, which Miss Love suggested, but he suggested in the way he's like, who's that philosopher used to live in a trash can?
Barrel.
A barrel, yeah. A barrel. And was chased away by people.
And we don't know. And then he just goes, it was Socrates. And then, like, everyone ever brings up a Greek philosopher, and everyone just goes, yeah, it was probably him.
Yeah.
So, Socrates, the man who lived in a barrel and was chased away by the town people.
Yeah, I think that's factually accurate. You'll have to fact check that.
I don't think you do. I think we know that's false.
And quote said once, I don't care about your material possessions. What do you think about this? That was Miss Love's description of him.
That, dude, I'm telling you, this is, it's actually accurate. Yeah. It's all accurate.
Right. You, like, are you from his time? I don't know. It's so on point.
Hear ye, there seems to be some fire in the side of the room. You best be careful there or the house might burn down.
Yes.
What's a light?
Wasn't Socrates was pretty wrong about a lot of stuff. I was reading some of his shit and
was
then
he?
Yeah, because one of the things that he said was that an object, you know, like if you throw a ball and then it'll eventually stop moving, he thought that it was because the ball got tired.
Maybe he's onto something.
Right.
Maybe he's onto something.
Wait, okay.
Yeah, how is he wrong?
Maybe that's
explain that, Ali. Yeah.
You can't, can you?
Yeah.
Newton or whatever. Isaac Newton.
To quote Bill O'Reilly.
You
and
can.
His best can't explain that.
Given the whole thing that he says, not the background, no one cares about that. Just give us the whole thing.
That's what he said.
You need the background for it.
All right. Just
tuck on in, everybody. Yep. If you're in a car, you need to be around a fireplace for this story. So I suggest that you blow up your car's engine and just stand around that.
Yeah. Especially if it's a Prado.
Or a Prius.
Yeah.
Jinx. At the same time.
Yes. So anyway, Bill O'Reilly, when he was debating Richard Dawkins, and it's so good that he finishes that discussion after being clearly hammered. at the end of it. He finishes it with what? Interesting debate. And
so
how was it interesting?
Oh, I remember watching that with you and the man who shall not be named.
Dome King.
No, Tom.
Oh, right.
I named him.
Well, yeah, all right. We'll just use this name from now on. Cunty McCuntface.
Hey, I don't hate it. But it was just like,
this is why he's making the big bucks.
Yeah, this is exactly what.
And you wonder why you're not.
So Tom, at the time, was obsessed by any person who spoke even slightly about atheism. Oh, Sam man. Harris was his god.
Carl Sagan, the Four Horsemen.
Yeah, he loved the Four Horsemen, and obviously
Wait, Carl Sagan, the guy from that...
Kashmosh.
He wasn't an atheist, was he?
Yeah, no, dude.
How would he not be an atheist?
Imagine.
Dude, I'm sorry. That weed smoking turtleneck wearing stoner from the 70s on many occasions compared like the red eye of Jupiter to God. I'm not having that.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I stand corrected. The point is, we're talking about someone much more intelligent, Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So Tom, Jordan, and I are watching Bill O'Reilly debate Richard Dawkins. And when the debate ends, Jordan just looks at Tom, just goes like, come on, clearly Bill O'Reilly won.
The winner.
Yes. And Tom's like, you know, like sometimes you just get stuck. Yeah. And he's just like, I don't know what you're talking about. Bill O'Reilly clearly lost. And then it was up to me to decide on who won.
Dude.
And just to piss off Tom further, I was like, I think Bill O'Reilly clearly won this one. I now believe in God.
Dude. Done.
Also, can I just call it? Let's stop revering atheists and really start revering people that are really vaguely culturally Catholic, like Gavin McInnes. Like, God's cool, man. Like, you go to church and, like, there's just people bowing their heads in awe and you get bread. It's mad.
You're right. That's the place where you should be. Or whatever. Worshipping God to an extent where you don't know if you're being ironic or not.
Yeah.
That's like, where it's like, at. I'm hipster like, Christendom.
Yeah.
That's who we should be revering.
I'm sick of like fat English guys just being like, well, there's no God, and just stuffing their face full of camembert.
But you know what, dude? That's actually... I actually meet a lot... You know what's weird? The pod that where we spoke about Jesus. Remember when I was like the historical Jesus? I have gotten a lot of people come up to me and said that, oh, that was actually really interesting. There's a renewed interest in Jesus.
Hell yeah. WWJDD.
Wow, that's really cool to see that Milo Yiannopoulos has done what Jesus Christ Superstar could not.
Yeah.
Made Jesus cool.
I know.
All right, so...
So anyway.
First of all, we've got to hit the Bureau.
Yeah,
we've
got to get to the important things and then we'll get on to the fun and games.
Yep.
The business. So, in this debate... with Richard Dawkins, and it's become the biggest meme of Bill O'Reilly's career, and rightfully so. He says in it, he starts with the introduction of going, you know, I just don't see how you could believe that there is no God when the sun comes up, the sun comes down. You can't explain that. And then Richard Dawkins says,
amazing.
We know why the sun comes up.
Oh my
God. The sun comes down and then he goes, I know that. I'm just saying you can't explain the physiology of it. And he goes, yes, we can. And so anyway, then that meme became huge for a small period of time and it's not fair. And you know what I was thinking? Bring back the classic memes. That Asian dad that's just going, it's called Asian, not Bayesian.
Dude, I have to say...
When did that get old?
And the baby that's going like this.
Yeah.
The winning baby. Yeah. The winning baby.
Mike,
the dog.
The champ. The guy with the cigarette in his mouth that looks like a happy Joe Rogan.
The dog, the Japanese dog just been like, Doge. That was the peak of memes. Not this a picture with like, I don't know. What the fuck even are memes now? I don't even know. I'm out of the loop.
I think how do they get older? More dank than dank memes? We are in that period of what comes after postmodernism.
I know.
You peaked too quick.
Yeah.
It took art thousands of years to get to postmodernism. You got there in 5.
I agree.
And now it's useless. You've rendered it useless.
Maybe we can bring back old school memes. I don't know how.
This is just going to bring it back in itself. Just like Bill O'Reilly, a picture of him with that face where he looks like he's trying to press a point, but he's also very old, so he's kind of suffering from dementia at the same time. And then it says, the meme is pretty much the same skeleton as that, but instead it'll just be like, bread goes in toaster, comes out as toast. Can't explain that.
Dude, I'm sorry, but that is like the best meme I've ever heard, those ones. Like, I'm sorry, the fuck off all the rest.
Yeah, all right. Listeners, post this up. Give us money. This? Give us money on the Patreon account, but also...
Yeah, well, for genius post this brain up on,
when we post
like
this up on Facebook.
I mean, like, do you need any more?
That's relaying old memes.
Can you get me better?
That we personally like. We have just become... I'm sorry. I know that I'm making fun of Robbie and Tom previously beforehand, but that was Robbie's reason d'etre of why he should have been paid in life, which was because he started a meme page where he just took other people's memes and he thought he should be paid for it because he was so good at, quote, curating memes.
Jesus.
I mean, and we have become that. We're all three of us together. Our powers combined. Our Captain Planet is Robbie.
God, and you know, Robbie would get me into trouble. I remember when the UTS meme page, I don't know if it's still big, but when it was big, I think Robbie took a meme, and I knew the girl who made the meme that he took, and she came up to me, she's like, "You guys took my meme."
That's right. Dude. I'm sad. I didn't get any credit. Dude. Well, there's bigger things in life, so I didn't give her any.
Dude, Robbie, being my life coach ever since I, for the first time, came to FBI and was like, "Yeah, man, this is cool, man." And then Jordan was like, "Hey, do you want to, hey, man?" And I was like, "Can I, do you want to get him on the radio show?" And then he's just like, "No, we won't be doing that." And I was like, "Yeah, okay." And I was like, "I'll just sit in the corner." And I was like, "I haven't." And he's like, "No, that's okay." I'm like, "Yeah." So obviously,
why is everyone from New Zealand the guys from Flight of the Conchords? How do they make every situation beyond awkward?
No, because to be fair, that is Robbie's thing. Yeah. Like, he tries to do that. That's his art.
Yeah, and he excels at it. And he credit to him.
He's my life coach. Even though I've met him once, and he basically just like was like disgusted by me.
Oh, he's hazing you, Miss Love.
Yeah.
Now that we're 32 minutes into this podcast,
God,
I think it's time.
We were supposed to go
the first segment.
God. So, okay, Socrates was the first historical figure. Okay, yep. Miss Love, you go first.
Who's playing you? Danny DeVito.
That actually works. Bizarrely, see, that works.
And people complain that we don't get to the good stuff quick enough. It's all... That whole 30 minutes is the drum roll to that.
You're welcome.
Specifically
the ACT.
Shout out, Capitol.
That's Danny DeVito. That's all right, actually.
Just
I can see him playing that.
He'd just be like, "I'm gonna live in a barrel. What you think you're so great with your wine? Give me some of that wine. This is sour wine."
Like, great.
Do you think that's what Socrates was saying all day? "Hey, give me that wine."
Maybe. I gotta say, apart from him living in the barrel, I haven't got the most knowledge about him.
Dude, but you got that part covered.
Yeah, you've got
a PhD in that.
But he knows all the tough times that Socrates went through. He's a true fan.
You just measure the width of barrels and think, his ass would have fit in this one too.
Okay, so my choice. Oh man, I'm so disappointed with my choice now.
All right, but he's a drum roll.
No, that doesn't deserve a drum roll. Seth Rogen.
Dude,
I can imagine him doing that as well, being like, I want people to take me seriously as an actor.
Yo. No, but like, okay, so he's got the beard already.
Yeah.
And he's got I just imagine Socrates as a very hairy man. Yeah. And Seth Rogen does have an extremely chilled vibe about him, which I think would work well with Socrates.
All right, Seth Rogen living in it.
What do you wait? I'm trying to. Oh, you think you're better than me? I can't live in the barrel. I can't live in the barrel. Why? Because why can't I live in the barrel?
There you go.
Weed.
Yeah. And, okay. Those are good pitches. But I think I've got this one, boys. Give me the drum roll.
Toadie from Neighbors is Socrates.
It's time to step up to the big leagues, Toadie. Either shit or get off the pot. Stop staying in the safe haven of Neighbors. Go out there and make something of yourself.
He could make it. He could do it. He would nail that. He would nail that role. Like, just looking, just being a little bit pissed off at people. Wandering around. It's just Neighbors anyway.
Yeah, we've got the casting right. Perfect. Damn. Okay, so the second historical figure was Napoleon.
Now I've forgotten what mine was. You guys go, but I'm trying to remember this.
Okay, so I don't know this actor's name.
Good start.
Basically the dwarf from Game of Thrones. I think...
So mean. To Napoleon. Obviously, it's a huge step up in a career for the dwarf from Game of Thrones. Damn. Actually, it probably isn't. Don't you reckon that at this point, more people know who that dwarf's name is than Napoleon?
Yeah.
What is his name?
How pathetic is that?
I don't know. It's probably just like... That's
the fucking point. No one knows his name. Everyone just knows him as the midget from Game of Thrones.
His actual name. Who cares?
Exactly. Well, you'll soon know him as Napoleon.
Okay,
it's a fair pick.
This really shows how pathetic our research is, but I don't know my guy's name either, but I'll just explain him. I'm sure you'll get him. You know that annoying, quirky guy that for some fucking reason had a career in the 90s? He might have been a comedian. He's like, had curly blonde hair. I was like, I did a lot of drugs in the 90s, and I'm just pretty fucked up now. And how am I even a comedian? I'm not actually funny. I just am eccentric, and it's just, yeah. You know that guy?
Carrot Top?
No.
Wait,
Jerry Seinfeld?
All right, this isn't gonna
work. That'd be pretty good as Napoleon, don't you think?
Yeah.
What's the deal with this Waterloo situation? Can I get another shot?
Okay, let's go to my emergency default. Danny DeVito.
And he's won it again. Class victory from the jaws of defeat.
So unfair. Every time.
And again, look, just really making this the perfect trifecta. Yep. I don't know this guy's name.
Yes. No, that's good.
But he's that hipster rapper from South Africa that did that song. I'm a ninja. Yo.
D'Antwood.
Yeah, D'Antwood playing fucking Napoleon.
I like that a lot.
It's actually interesting now that I think about it. It's not funny. It's just like, it's actually cool. I'd watch that.
Yeah, that's cool.
I could see him playing that.
Yeah. And a second in command is just that little chick, his wife. It's like, boo! That chick.
Or
Yolandi.
We get that extremely fucked up midget that he has in heaps of his film clips.
He died. He died.
Moving on.
Danny DeVito.
No,
okay, yeah. One, the last one.
Yeah.
Joan of Arc. So I'll go first because mine is the most disappointing one. But, so, again, I don't know the name of this guy, but I know that... No, okay.
We got to stop recording these pods at 2 a.m.
Okay, hold up. The biggest, Sheldon Cooper from Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Don't watch enough Big Bang Theory to know.
Come
what
on,
that is.
The other day, Jordan came up to me and you know what he was like? He's like, you know, Big Bang Theory is actually all right.
Yeah.
I stand by it. Big Bang Theory is a perfect 5 out of 10 show.
Dude.
You sit there and then you're just like, and that was half an hour of your life.
Dude.
Yeah, all right.
Don't you think? Like, you don't turn it off. That's genius of it.
Yeah, the Big Bang. Yeah,
perfect
the Big Bang
for commercial
theory,
TV.
The Big Bang Theory is a fucking ham sandwich footlong sub of a show. It is so fucking bland, but it's for some reason there's something very off-putting about it and very bizarre, but you don't turn it off. I think that like it was made by the CIA or something.
How good would it be if Miss Love was actually talking about Cosmos? He just got the names mixed up.
Yeah,
what? I mean, it's funny, wait. But it's not ha-ha funny.
Yeah. You mean Carl Sagan? Is that the guy playing Jonah Fark?
Yeah. Why did he shrink himself on the map of the planet and then go down the black hole? He could have just described it. Like,
I loved how he did that. It's like, if you observe me, I'll sink down as such. Yeah, because it was the ultimate in special effects back then. Yeah, like, they would have seen it on Willy Wonka and gone, how also, can I do that?
Just have to put it out there. Neil deGrasse Tyson can fuck off. It's all Carl Sagan. He was so much better.
Just because you look sort of like an urban Super Mario doesn't mean that you know anything about science.
But
how
you know
dismissive
what?
Is that to say he doesn't know, anything about science? So, nothing.
No, but
hack.
But I...
Now, gather around this podcast to listen to us talk about it. We know less about it than the cast of Love Island.
Hey, I don't know a lot about space because I haven't reached that level of stonerdom as yet.
Which is amazing because you smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah, it's a bong in your room.
Your room is a bong.
Hey, it's not that bad.
We're in a giant bong right now. That's the fucking thing you pull out. The light.
Yeah, it's a visual medium, everyone.
Let's keep going with Joan of Arc. Yeah, all right, mine is, again, don't know the name.
Oh,
but
my God. Actually, I don't know mine.
God.
Pathetic.
The chick from the OC that everyone thought was hot.
It's like Mila Shikjicic, something
that's
like that.
That's the one.
She was hot.
It looks like her entire diet was cigarettes.
Yeah, she was banging. Yeah, she'd actually do all right. Mine's very similar to yours. Mine isn't so much a joke as like, it's more like, actually no, it's kind of a joke, but it's what I'd want to see. The chick from Resident Evil.
You know what? Miss Love, that's a good casting. Thank you for taking this game show seriously. And I think he's, you know, he might not have won the game because it's based on who laughs the most, but he's had a moral victory here.
Yeah. Like, no, but he can redeem it. You're like, I'll change my Danny DeVito.
There we go. 3 for 3. The gift that keeps on giving. You thought twins was too much Danny DeVito. No, triplets.
Such thing.
Okay, so let's talk about something of
substance.
Before, like, we get a bunch of angry Patreon things going, I paid for this? Yeah, you did. Why? Don't know.
No,
but the point is,
no,
join the party.
No, paying. Please keep paying. Don't keep listen paying, to this crazy man.
This is a good podcast, and it's a future medium. And, you know, what else can you do? Pay for ABC Kids? Don't be stupid.
Do people pay?
Yeah.
Okay.
So good. Paying for us. To just say defund the ABC,
which is you've got to give us something.
Okay, we just went to a prominent journalist at the ABC's funeral today, and it was very sad.
As if
but
no
the first
one...
thing that came into my mind was how good would it be to go into that room full of ABC stalwarts with a shirt that has a picture of the ABC slogan on it and just the words "Privatize now."
I love the directness of now too. Just a direct word, like this.
No time. No, don't think this over. Just do it.
No, but there was a proposal. Actually, I think in the Liberal Party. Well, they've been saying it for long, but they're saying privatize all Metro ABC.
And fair enough.
What's that? Like the ABC they play on the monorail or something?
As in like all
Metro
the
ABC.
Or is it the ABC exclusively with like presenters that are metrosexual? Like, well, that is just the ABC.
But isn't that just, is the... No, like as in...
No, that was the ABC 10 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, it's the internet thong. Why? Because I smoke them a fucking dumb cunt.
Yeah. It's a good summary. Yeah.
I'm sorry, but that
it's like all the ABC in Sydney in cities like Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, and shit.
Right,
so all regional ABC still.
We just replace the ABC with constant 24-hour live stream of regional ads?
What, those ones that just have a slideshow of different sheds you can buy?
What? No, like
And also, like, if you need to get a RAM, automatic RAM shearing device, yes, I do need that.
Yeah, it's like, are you fed up with your automated RAM shearer?
Yes. Well, if you want to get a prime rib shearer that'll get you to A to B, you need the rib shear king. Buy the fucking grass.
Miss Love threw the mic. He's like, I'm out of this.
Saying, I'm pretty sure a sentence that was maybe 30% English.
Yeah, profound enough to let the mic go for good. So the substantive thing, we're gonna talk about universal basic income.
Yeah,
you know what the funny. Damn,
speaking of Sam Harris.
No, but this is
all he ever talks about is just like Islam is a sham, AI and universal basic income. But that's more to do with AI. It's a subcategory of.
But you don't love AI so much.
I don't know.
Well, everyone's in love with AI, and this segment's gonna be. It's gonna be. Yeah, if you can't be off of something that like hasn't AI taken over. Okay. You know what the worst thing about this is that universal basic income is trending because of that Sam Harris episode.
Oh really?
And we Miss Love, remember we did like a proper podcast on universal basic income
ages ago?
Well,
was the one we lost.
Yeah, in your time, Miss Love, it was ages ago.
Yeah, it wasn't real that world, long. It was a month ago. Yeah, a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
And I referenced the same guy who went on Sam Harris's podcast.
Yep.
And we lost that entire pod. And I think it was one of the best ones that we ever did.
Rehash. Ollie, spin that shit.
DJ Spin Bad. Okay.
No, I think we could just finish the pod on that.
Yeah.
Rep it.
Cause
it has to be
said. Yeah, so the build up. Man, okay, so universal basic income can't be understood in today's times. You've got to understand it after the Great Depression. As in, what I'm saying is like...
Yeah, so it's not even AD anymore. It's like in those post-apocalyptic times when they've just turned... Like, they've completely inverted the calendar and it's just like, it's year one again.
Oh. Yeah, it's year one. Gotta start from the... There's not much of a difference between me and Rachel Maddow. We're both always take it to like extreme historical things that slightly make sense.
Yeah.
Literally elected Hitler.
That's the only thing that Miss Love remembers. After the Great Depression, the welfare state was basically a insurance scheme of the workers for other workers, as in, I am working this much. I will pay a certain amount of money in case if I don't have work, then I can get the income. That sort of continued quite successfully for the longest time. And then it all sort of visibly collapsed after 2008. Because workers were producing the wealth that was being used to expropriate amongst other workers that needed it. And then there, with financialization, there came a time where like the workers weren't really making the most amount of money. As in, financial sector was making more money. So then the liberal Democrats made a deal with the financial sector that is like, hey, you keep making money, we'll use your money to fund the social services. And in like Australia's case, it happened with quite explicitly with Paul Keating and the superannuation thing, right? Which was basically just like, all right, I'll give you all the companies, I'll give you, I'll reduce your corporate taxes as long as you pay some amount of money.
Yay, Paul.
And now...
I'm not talking about Paul's warehouse, Miss Lee. Well, then I retract the year.
Paul's warehouse had it all. Paul Keating's did not.
Paul Keating had nothing.
He paused. Yeah. He had something, but did he have it all? Yeah. Did he have Vans and Vans with the Iron Maiden guy on the fucking thing?
Sorry. No, he didn't. And you know why? Because he's a soft cock.
I haven't heard that in ages. That's
such a bring it back. Place. You used to say that heaps.
Another
Why
time.
Did I stop?
I know.
Yeah, hey, we're memes, soft cock. We're
all going back.
Paul's warehouse.
Yeah, there you go. This house is a time machine.
This house does look like it's belong. Yeah. This room belongs in the 90s.
Yeah, this is what Better Homes and Gardens thought was the pinnacle of urban living when people used to watch that show.
So what 2008 led us to believe was that the financial sector was full of shit in the sense that the money wasn't tangible enough to let this insurance scheme go on of the welfare state. And now we've reached a point where, so 2008 was a huge bombshell. There's even a bigger bombshell, which is Miss Love's favorite topic, AI.
Oh, here we go.
Well,
do you know Deliveroo now delivers to Adelaide? Ooh, fucking whatever.
What did you just say?
How is that qualified as a contribution? It was just a half-assed ad.
It's a news flash. Deliveroo now in Adelaide. Is Deliveroo in Adelaide?
I've seen Ex Machina, you know. I know what's up.
Yeah, so...
Have you seen it? Have you guys seen Ex Machina?
No.
Jordan?
Fuck. All right, well, yeah, I don't know if I have.
It's good. And it's about AI.
Ooh, good review.
You can tell it's getting late here on the Friendly Jimmy's podcast. I'm just going to let you continue this one, Ali.
So now, we're at a brink. We're at one of those stages. In fact, it's a very rare situation where we're probably going to make. So one of the other things that's happened is that most of the employment has sort of moved towards the service sectors. Service sectors of, because we're not producing as much as we used to because of financialization, all the jobs are now in the service sector where, like, you know, customers...
You can replace them with robots anyway.
Yeah, that's right. So those are going to be the first jobs to be culled.
Wait, which ones?
The service sector jobs.
Like, such as?
Such as the guy working at Flight Center.
Oh, yeah, well, good riddance, eh?
So this is going...
Kind of, yeah, as if they're not the excess of humanity.
Dude, do people at those fucking, like, flight centers just sit there and, like, just pretend? The computer's not even, plugged in, they're just pretending to type? What do they do all there all day?
I think so. I think they just, you walk in there, they hypnotize you to go home and go on Qantas and book your own flights.
Yeah, you walk in there, they just see a giant walking dollar sign. They're like, hello there. Like, I'm sorry, I don't believe that they're frantically cross-checking flights from London to Singapore for like $1.75 difference. No. Anyway, it's just a side note.
Yeah.
Nah, it's not a side note. That's a main.
And that is the main point of the pod.
You think you're not getting educated on this? Shut up.
What? Even if those jobs weren't being replaced,
yeah,
it's still horrible for the insurance of the welfare state because the wages are just stagnating constantly.
Yeah.
So they just can't pay out. So what do we do in a situation where we know, first of all, the workers aren't capable of insuring the other workers? We also know that the existing workers are probably soon to be unemployed.
And are we going with this?
There's also a big issue. So it's not just that, oh, so what a tragedy that all of these people don't have jobs. There's the issue, the elephant in the room. Every economist will tell you this. The elephant is aggregate demand, which is that most of the people, if they're unemployed, who's going to be buying this shit? That's why, like, companies like Google...
They need consumerism.
Yeah, exactly, right? They need consumerism. Companies like Google are... okay, so if you like listen to their public speeches or some shit, some executive always say, "Well, there's gonna be jobs lost, but there's gonna be jobs that will be made, and then it's gonna even out." In reality, even they're shitting their pants because they, Yeah, Google. Because they know that, yeah, we're making all of the stuff that we're making is basically, so what Google does, or what like technological advancement now is, like how to make things more efficient, right? Which usually leads to robotics, and which usually leads to less requirement of humans. Mm. So they're also afraid of aggregate demand. It's like how, well, like if they'll be able to sell all of this shit.
True.
But the porn. Yeah, and it's a tough situation where like the aggregate demand is. That's why, like, even now after 2008 financial crisis, every sort of bank, as in like a state bank, so like in Australia's case, the Reserve Bank of Australia, the ECB, the Federal Reserve Bank of America, they all are extremely tense because they've kept their interest rates really low, which is the cost of borrowing money. So ideally, so the best way to explain that is that it is the amount of money that government charges us for borrowing that money. And we borrow that money for whatever, for our businesses, investments.
Yeah.
So if the interest rate is high, it's less of an incentive for people to borrow money.
Mm.
So they've reduced the interest rate to an absolute minimum, in some cases negative, where they're paying you to borrow money.
Because the economy needs that boost.
But guess what's happening? The economy isn't getting that boost. And in certain cases, even if the economy gets that boost, wages are still not increasing.
Mm.
So now we've just reached that point where, like, so what is the answer? And a lot of people are now suggesting the universal basic income.
Yeah.
Which is...
But have they thought about this? If there is a universal basic income, just like how there is the nightmarish world that is described to us in Planet of the Apes, this will be a planet of the hipsters. Like, everyone will just have a lot of money and fucking heaps of free time.
But not a lot of money, a little bit of money. Enough to live.
Yes, which is what hipsters have, sorry. Little bit of money. Yeah, they have enough to live.
Yeah.
And so they're just going to make heaps of bullshit art. And then everyone will just want to kill themselves because it'll just be such a bleak, shitty existence. But
what's the solution then?
No, but it's like I get like how... It's even... Because the argument that most people make is... Oh, the beach bum's gonna get money, and I don't want this beach bum to get my money.
It's true, though, I don't.
It's the thing is, sometimes you can't look at it as your money. You've got to look at it as like
a community's not spoken like a true Marxist.
But wait a sec. Wait a sec. You both have good points, but
mine's better.
No. I'm just thinking like. You know that whole saying of sort of like you know the stats on retirees, right? Retirees that have been working full-time and then retire, if they don't keep working or if they don't like subsidize what they were doing in terms of their wage, in terms of things, they die. Like there is an argument to be made that like, and I'm not necessarily saying this is the answer, but like I'm just curious in the question, like what about the argument of like, look, if there is universal wage and people stagnate and don't really contribute to society, which I don't know if that would happen, but isn't that unhealthy and dangerous to a degree?
Well, okay, so I'm going to challenge the assumption that would happen. One of the key things to see how productive people can be is to give them some basic level of money. So, for example, like they've tested out universal basic income in certain parts of the world.
Where?
So they've tried it in Alaska. It has a different form, but it's pretty much the same thing. They even tried it in Kentucky. What they noticed in Kentucky was, yeah, these certain places. Areas, California, Finland. So what they've noticed in like Kentucky, for example, was that the education level of children that were under parents that were receiving the income was way better than their counterparts. Hmm. In fact, a few grades better.
Really?
A few years of schooling better.
Wait. I'm talking... with Jordan's point... It's like... This is just like Joe Rogan talking to a fucking... Like a scientist. I'm just like, wait a sec. But in terms of specifically annoying hipsters, will they become more annoying?
I know it's a... Can't explain that.
I know it's really specific, but I'm genuinely... I'm picking.
I am scared thing. About this. I'm really against universal basic income if that's the case. I know it'll solve a lot of problems, but I can't overlook that. I don't want to live in this world if that's the case. I would rather live in a hellscape, global warming, post-apocalyptic world.
Than yeah, I'm facing the same conundrum that Chomsky was facing when he was asked that. So you understand linguistics and language so well. What's the best way to pick up a girl? And he was like, computer malfunctioning. Dude, I don't know if hipsters are going to get more annoying or less annoying. My guess is probably more annoying.
That was not what's the best way to pick up a chick to Noam Chomsky. That was Ali G asking Chomsky, what are words? And then he goes, words are things that we build up to communicate ideas. What are some examples of words?
I mean, like the ones we're speaking now.
Right now we're speaking. I know lots of words.
How many words do you know? Yeah. Well, a typical human being knows thousands of words. So how many do you know? Quite a few.
Okay, so basically, I mean, universal income is a good idea, but we're just going to have a lot more, like...
Be prepared.
Like, a lot more, like, rimmed glasses, cunts in Surry Hills, like, being more entitled.
Man, here's the thing.
All 20 million people living in Surry Hills.
But we need them. And you know what? The other thing is...
We don't need them.
No, here's the thing. They do... So, for example, companies like Facebook, Google, these biggest companies in the world... They're hipsters. But other than good that... Point. What's their business model...
Did you say good point?
Their business model... is dependent on people rather than goods or services. So their actual produce is humans. As in, so those hipsters that go on Facebook, they're the customers. They're used to pitch advertisers. That's how Google or Facebook makes money. So technically, Google makes money because of the beach bum hipster.
Yeah. So basically you're saying that the only reason why universal basic income would ever be introduced is because Google wants it.
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is that those hipsters that you speak of actually provide a few services that you're not thinking of.
By typing shit into Google.
Yes, but that's what gives Google the money. That's what gets the
money, yeah. No, he's right.
What I'm saying is like they deserve a piece of that money as well. And not just that. The main thing is like, and I think I remember you've actually you
took this. It's pathetic that we're in the 21st century. There is no way that Karl Marx was ever saying when he was talking about the worker should be getting a share of the profits. He was not talking about people typing porn. Like, where is porn. A good fondue restaurant in Sydney?
Fondue. It's not 1973. Maybe like udon noodles.
No, but like, okay, so the fact that he's...
Shut up, fancy, panty, cunt, cunt.
The fact that that person is typing in...
Jesus.
The fact that that person's...
There's only one solution here. Let's just go out and bash
What?
He's right.
That's the solution.
We've got no choice. Oh, when Miss Love's right, he's right. We're going to have to bash someone.
Look, P.O. Box, fax us an address. Oh, this is getting so slanderous. And we'll break.
And then we'll just walk in there and we'll deck them. So if you want your grandma decked, we're going to do it. Do you want your grandma decked? Well, then P.O. Box.
Well, I have no judgments on your solution. I'm just trying to explain to you the problems. Exactly. What you make out of those problems is your own... Is your own doing.
I'm not trying to trivialize this, though. Go on. You're right.
Yes, you are.
No, but like this is like I'm actually very, very. So the other thing is that so everyone's talking about that Andrew Yang guy. Andrew Yang is he was basically, so I've been looking into him for some time. Mm. He is now running for 2020 presidential. Which is bullshit, like as if he's gonna win. He's basically like a tech kid who made money from the dot-com bubble and then lost all of his money and is now Bitcoin.
Andrew Yang.
Jing
got the ying.
Yang?
That, I'm glad the mic wasn't close to his mouth because that made no sense.
Classic zinger.
Yeah, 2 a.m. But yeah, so he's basically making an argument of like how, because you guys haven't even asked the most important questions, like how do you pay for it? It all sounds good this way.
MySpace bucks. Pictures of MySpace Tom. That's how you pay for it. People have always been wondering, how do you get
delirious?
Like, how do you get Apple to pay taxes properly? The answer is you fax them a picture of MySpace Tom, and they're like, "Hey, you're right. I can't let that guy down."
Finally, this pod is getting good.
So Andrew
finally got to the good stuff. All we ever do on Friendly Geordies is whine about problems. Well, the podcast finds the solutions. MySpace Tom.
Was he real or not? These are the real questions, Ali. I mean, obviously of universal income significant, but was he real?
Dude, answer the man, please.
Sorry, fake.
We're losing. Okay, so
no. Okay, okay. Look, we should probably end this pod. But but before we do, so Andrew Yang, the guy who appeared on Sam Harris, he's basically like, okay, I don't want to get too much into it, but I'll give you the dot points of what he's suggesting. Number one is that so he's looking at America and he's saying that most of the welfare payments in terms of like food stamps, pensions, already pay about $500 trillion. $500 billion. Like that's the total amount. The total amount that you need for universal basic income in it's like every adult in the US will receive $1,000 a month, and the amount comes to one to one and a half trillion. So around 25% of that is already being paid. The other method that he suggested was value added tax. So for example, like a company like Google, they could make in one quarter zero profit, or even if they do, they could show zero profit and basically pay no tax at all. So Andrew Yang's suggestion is that you make it value added tax, where like every tax is based on transactions rather than net profit.
That's a good idea. That's just common sense.
Yeah, both of these ideas are all right. I don't think
they're good.
No, I just think that they're not. It's like you're falling into the same old tricks of like trying to make money for it, which is that just tax them. I feel like taxing the companies or people is probably not the way we want to do things in the future, in the sense that, and I've said this before, I've said this in like the last, like a couple of pods ago, which is that you somehow get access to private savings. Because the thing is, yes, like I said that there's a negative interest rate, people, so there's lack of investment, but that doesn't mean that there's lack of savings. There's a lot of companies that have huge amounts of savings that aren't investing in it because they don't have confidence.
It's pretty radical, though. It's a good idea, but I just don't see, like, Hewlett Packard being like, you want a million? A billion? You want to take it all, take it to 3 billion.
No, but here's the thing. Again,
a park? Yeah, okay.
It's so
people like parks.
So the idea is that it's their money, and it's true, money off of it, but well, no. So what I'm saying is that every dollar that like Apple makes is kept exclusively in Apple because A, they don't pay the due tax, and B, the assumption is that they deserve it because they made money. And it's true, like they did do some innovations, but like every piece of technology that Apple is selling now is through some sort of public grant, which was paid for by us. Well, not us because we're not Americans, but the US citizens. So they deserve some sort of share in that too, you know.
Yeah, true.
So if private companies can, so what I'm saying is, like, you don't deserve a share by just taxing those companies. So these savings that these big companies have, the government can access it, invest it in places that wouldn't have, like, you wouldn't normally invest in, because it just doesn't make that much of financial sense at the moment. So most companies want quick returns. So what the government has the ability to do, because it's not driven by profit, is patient investment. So you take those savings, put it in areas, for example, like some shitty town like Ivanhoe, right, in Australia. Mm-hmm. Just pump in heaps of money in Ivanhoe. No private company is willing to do that right now. Dude, but the government can do it, and eventually Ivanhoe will pay for itself.
Put it in Lithgow, fucking hell.
Yeah, or Lithgow. Although Lithgow, I don't think, doesn't need it as much. I was looking into this recently,
because I'm about to do a video on infrastructure. Yeah. And the Liberal Party's always saying, we can't afford infrastructure. But it pays for itself.
It? Yeah, it eventually does. Mm. That's the thing. Like, if you're looking for quick profits, if you build a massive road in a dead town, it's not going to give you a profit in 2 years, even 10 years maybe. But eventually, as the population grows, that same road is going to be used for trades and commerce, and eventually it will pay for itself. You could even put up a toll later. So patient investment usually needs long-term planning, which private companies can't do. The only sort of institution that can do it is the state, because it's not driven by profit. So I'm saying that that's how you eventually pay for UBI, universal basic income. So the money would be coming from these big tech companies, but not by just taxing them, like what Andrew Yang is suggesting. For the meantime, it's good, but, like, think of in long term. You don't want to reach a sort of dead end in 10 years, and they're like, oh, fuck, we screwed up. Universal basic income's not working because these companies can't pay tax and they're closing down.
Yeah.
Man, those are all really good points, but here's my counter. Fuck your smarty pain, Charlie.
No, I got a bit of...
That's crazy that he thought... Sorry, you go.
That was a good point, but I have another... I have a better point to counter that. I reckon we should invest it all in sending photos of Tom to MySpace.
But wait, we should send pictures of MySpace Tom to MySpace with a question mark on the back. Is he real? Answer the question.
Dude, foil the system from the inside out. Be like the Riddler in Batman Forever, but it's Tom.
Yeah, all right. On that beautiful note, we're going to...
collapse the economy.
So this is the quip.
Shut it down. I didn't know you were an Atticus Whistler.
This is a question for the listeners.
Some men just want to watch the world burn.
If it means having a barbecue with Tom, then call me a classical anarchist.
On this, so we're gonna.
And also, this is a quick note. This is actually a semi-serious point. Don't you reckon that they should have? Remember those places? I don't know if they had them in Pakistan, Ali, but they were ball pits, and they had all this jungle gym equipment in them, and they were called like amazing, and then they all shut down because of litigation.
Litigation.
Can we just set those up again, but for adults? I want them. Dude, I reckon that'd be
this
that,
just
that'd
got
be a
real
good investment in infrastructure.
I agree with you. Those were so fun.
Like, especially if you have a universal basic income, what else are you going to do with your time?
Actually, there's
the
a solution for
this in my life. Like, yeah. That was honest. You know that phrase? I know it's a cliche, but honestly, there would be no need for heaven.
Yeah,
that is heaven.
Did you do that, Ali? Did you ever go to those?
I don't know. I don't think we had those.
You know, ball pits where it's like...
Oh, wait. Yeah. We used to have them at, like, Macca's or something.
Yes. It's like that, but bigger.
Dude, those are mad. Yeah, heaven. Bring those back.
Heaven.
All right. Well, I'm glad that we can finally
build
agree
that wall.
I know that we have a lot of different opinions.
Build... Yes. Nice. Yeah. What we should do is we should build that wall and then build three other walls around and just fill them with balls.
Yeah. Wait. Why...
Make the United States of America a huge ball pit. It what? Already is.
Why are ball pits so funny? Can't explain that.
Good night.